This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply. Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
This is Hidden Killers Year in Review, a look back at the biggest stories of 2025. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Oh, Brian Koberger. It's been a very interesting week watching the evidence continue to come out since Judge Stephen Hippler put that order out saying, we're not going to hide things anymore. We're going to put these things out here in the open. And oh my gosh, things are coming out in the open. And not in the favor of Brian Koberger. Joining me to discuss, Robin Drieg, retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. The big bombshells over the last week have been he bought the knife and he bought the sheath and he bought the sharpener. And then he allegedly took a selfie, and we'll get to all of that in a second. But when you first heard the news, and we've been speculating on it for quite some time, of if he bought the knife, if we can get the receipt for that, feels like game over. Now that we're here, what do you think?
You know, it's like you and I say all the time, you know, it's these predictable behavior patterns, and the more and more you keep filling in these data points, it just keeps reconfirming all the things we've had conjecture on from the beginning. And I think one of the things that you and I said at the very onset, and we're kind of focused on a little bit, was why does the prosecution seem not to push back so much? Every time defense tries something a little crazy, a little out of line, or just something a little different. And it's because one of our conjecture was they must feel very, very confident with what they do have. And boom, yes. And I think there's going to be more.
I completely agree. We still do not know a lot about his digital footprint. We're learning more and more. And the shopping history, certainly one of that, the revelation being he bought the K-Bar knife, the same one that was used in this crime, or the same type of one at the very least, same sheath. And I found it interesting too, and I connected some dots on this, the sharpener, which, yeah. Okay, I mean, I guess you're going to buy a knife. I guess you want a sharpener. That makes sense. But if all of these things that have been claimed are correct in terms of the surviving roommates, we had the statement that came out the other week when those the text messages were revealed and all of that. One of them saying it looked like the guy with the bushy eyebrows, and I'm just paraphrasing, like he had some sort of vacuum type attachment that he was carrying out of the house with him, which again, everybody's like, that, like, was he trying to clean up? If you look at the K-Bar knife sharpener, if you don't know what you're looking at and it's dark and somebody's kind of rushing on it, it looks like a vacuum attachment.
Yeah, and it's also interesting about the knife sharpener. So, you know, I'm a former Marine.
Yeah.
I've actually owned K-Bars.
Yeah.
And unless you plan on using the knife, you're not going to sharpen a knife. In other words, he's not a collector that was collecting knives. Mm-hmm. And again, when we look at a pattern's behavior, does he own other knives? Has he sharpened other knives? Does he use a knife for anything? So see what I mean? I see. Mm-hmm. So the only reason to sharpen a blade is if you're going to use a blade, and use it for what? So yeah. Again, I think just a knife sharpener unto itself is another data point that is damning.
It is. I also find it odd that you'd bring the sharpener to the crime. I don't know. I mean, I don't use knives. I mean, other than when I'm cooking, but I sharpen my knives a lot when I'm cooking. So I don't know, if you're going to murder people, do you bring the sharpener, or is that kind of like you got it sharpened before you get there? Are you afraid it's going to get dulled down and you got to sharpen it? I mean, it's a weird question.
It's interesting, you know, if you're going to do that reverse, you know, mindset that we do and place ourselves in his position the best we can from a broken brain.
Yeah.
The only thing you can think of, because again, you know, from a pattern behavior, whether it's him or not, because again, not convicted yet, but it's like first time doing something like this, I'm not quite sure for anyone. You don't know how long a blade will stay sharp. So maybe you're thinking in your mind, I have to bring something along with me. You know, first time, you know, someone, you know, shoots an animal in the wild and they're butchering it, you know, how long does that blade stay sharp? Mm-hmm. So do they bring a knife sharpener with me? I don't know, as I've never hunted like that before. But, you know, so it illustrates, again, his lack of reps, as we call them, in having done this, because if it's your first time, you don't have the combination of education and experience, which makes wisdom, as I've said numerous times, to actually do it. It's why everything he does, he seems to have contracted his behaviors of what he should and shouldn't do to not get caught in a very small box and window. And then outside of that box, he blows it. And that's why he was caught. So, because inside that box, he did everything he's supposed to do, but outside that box, like shopping for Amazon for K-bars, buying knife sharpeners, you know, it's outside the box. You know, turning your cell phone off, but only during this period of time. He should have not been using it ever outside of this box. So you see what I mean? He was operating within a very small box that wisdom would have said, hey, we need a larger box to establish a pattern to protect myself from incriminating myself by doing stupid.
There's knowledge and there's wisdom. And they're two different things. Yep. And Koberger, just with his youth, I guess you could say, you know, he had knowledge. You know, he was a smart guy. He's going for his PhD in criminology. It takes a little work to get there. But the wisdom is what comes with experience and age and reps. And that's something he obviously did not have. One of those things would be, I guess, buying the murder weapon on Amazon. I guess completely eluding you that you think no one's going to look back at your shopping history. But I guess if you also think you're not going to get caught, you don't even consider it.
No, and think about this too. So you hit a really key point there that we've said before, and that is his knowledge and his study of doing things like this was vast because he's working on his PhD. But when you're working on a PhD, what are you studying? You're studying past cases. His knowledge was coming from past cases. Past cases he's studying, or anyone that was attempting to do this, again, innocent, proven guilty, did include current modern technologies and techniques that were used against him. Mm-hmm. In other words, how often did he study in the course of his PhD search histories and buying histories on Amazon? How often was he studying DNA, touch DNA in his studies, because it hasn't been used on any of the case studies that he had studied? See what I mean? So his knowledge base was also a bit archaic for today's criminal.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, that's how that system would work.
In other words, if he was trying to fit an MLK or Ted Bundy profile and their behaviors, because that's the type of people he had studied. But our advances in criminology had advanced a lot. Even the cell phone. Mm-hmm. He knew to turn the cell phone off, but he didn't know to turn the cell phone off for months and maybe a year in advance of that, because they're going to go back like that. He knew not to put the trash in his own trash, but put in the neighbor's trash. But only since you got home. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Why the neighbor's trash? So again, this database sets of data was, I think, really limited to those he had studied, without a practical application of today's criminology.
Outdated data is basically what he was operating on in his mind. And he was putting, if it's him, he was putting a lot of weight on how you would commit a crime in 1995. You might be able to do it that way and get away with it better. The fact that we have the history now of him buying this knife, and then after the fact, after the murders, his history shows he goes back to Amazon and looks again at the same knife. And I don't believe he bought a new one, but it was, looked at, considered. What does that tell us, I guess, of anything about this case, about that piece of evidence, that he left the sheath there? We still don't know what actually happened to the knife itself. Why would he be going back and looking at this again? Is he, wanting to get a replacement sheath, or is this so he has it in his possession, so if they ever do look at him, oh, I got my knife right here. Now, it couldn't have possibly been mine. I'm just trying to think, what is going on in that brain of his, that broken brain, that this is going to be a solution to a problem that he's facing?
I think that's one of the options and possibilities, that he was looking to replace that which he lost. There's also the possibility that he liked the method for his execution of his horrendous crime, and he wanted to use it again.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also the possibility that I'm kind of thinking of just him as individual, of kind of being, again, just from the third party looking in, of maybe being a bit OCD, and he's going to really fixate on exactly how he did what he did with what he did it with. And he was going to kind of maybe examine whether that was effective or not effective or not. I think he was going to study himself and how that actually worked. And because this is what serial killers in infancy do, is they examine what they did and think about how could they do it better next time. So that might've been part of his own self-study as well.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if he was, thinking about, well, let's go for a round two somewhere.
I think I'm on board with that. That's exactly what was going to happen next. This was not going to be a one off. I mean, because this thing about it. So people that are murdered and have violence done against them, that there's always a personal connection. Like we've said, 95 to 98% of the time, there's a personal connection because of vengeance, feelings of hatred, anger, resentment, all the negative emotions towards an individual or an organization, institution, that all that rage gets directed at. And it's an arc of their lives that they're going to escalate to violence. When you're dealing with someone that doesn't have necessarily a deep connection at all, we don't know what prosecution knows or defense knows at this point when it comes to any connection at all, and we're going to start entering the world and realm of possibility of serial killer, there's a whole different kind of mindset, that the reason by which they're doing it, for a fantasy world. They're trying to fulfill an emotional fantasy to get an emotional response that they haven't felt in anything before, get that rush that they've been missing, because they have psychopathy. They have a lack of empathy, as he's just self-described in his writings earlier in life. And so this might have been just the first, most likely, to a series of what he was going to do, like serial killers do, to get that fantasy, to get that rush. And that kind of brings us to the point too, of that selfie he took.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, when there's going to be a lot of conjecture, a lot of theories out there on that, and people a lot more professional probably about it than I am. But when you look at that, right there, that thumbs up, what serial killers, not saying he's a serial killer, who knows at this point, not convicted or not, obviously, but their trophy you know, they all go for trophies in some way. And the point of a trophy, the point of how they position bodies and do these things is so they can remember it and remember that fantasy to get that same rush. In this case, there was no, it doesn't appear to be, again, we don't know all the evidence yet, any trophy that was taken from the scene. Bodies didn't have time to necessarily be staged for his own mental fantasy. So what's he have to do to remember the moment? Bam.
Yeah. Thumbs up after he gets his shower and he gets all cleaned up.
So it'd be interesting too is, you know, because kind of thinking about what this could serve in a courtroom is if you then, I don't have the ability to put my hand over it, but if you put your hand right above his nose there and then show that photo to the one surviving, you know, the one, you know, the survivor who saw the bushy eyebrow.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, just kind of, yeah, I got to see.
Take that because, you know, yeah. There you go. Yeah, there you
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
Take that and show that in the courtroom.
Yeah. It's distinctive without a doubt. Yeah, I mean, you could put a, you know, you could just draw on that and you put a mask and go, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can generate an AI, photo yeah. of that, you know, of what it would look like as she described it and then show it to her. And then, so who knows how her, she's been through a lot of trauma, you know, yeah. the one surviving roommate. I don't guarantee, but you put that in the courtroom with that image on there, and watch the emotional response she has. So actually seeing what she saw that night,
yeah,
you're going to know whether it's accurate or not.
You're going to get a trigger response pretty quick there.
Yeah.
The selfie itself, again, it's insane. If he did this, if there's one thing that's going to get him in front of a firing squad, it's this.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, Tony, yeah. one more thing to look at in this photo too.
Yeah.
So think about everything, again, just things that start popping out at you. Think about all the images we've seen of Koberger to this point. What's different in this photo?
He's smiling. It's the only one yeah. he's smiling in.
What did we just spend our time talking about? A lack of emotional response, and this was going to be the only thing that gave an emotional response, and there it is.
Yeah.
He feels an emotion.
Yeah.
First time we've seen it.
And that's what drives some of these people. They have to go
something?
To these extremes.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
So the conjecture being, so again, if I was the prosecution, that's exactly what I would be highlighting right now. Is like, here's someone who's self-described, does not have an emotional response to anything, has that visual snow issue going on in life and everything else as he has described himself as being, at being non-emotional, non-responsive to anything. All the photos, and then I'd show a series of photos of him in the courtroom, photos of him everywhere in life where he's just got the stoic, non-demonstrative facial expressions always. And the only facial expression we've ever seen ever of him that shows any kind of emotion is what they're claiming happened after the murder there. That's exactly what I'd be pointing out.
It's ghoulish. I don't know any way to describe it. It's just ghoulish. But I also think there's a lot to this picture. It's in front of a shower. I mean, of all the places you could take a selfie, of all the places you could do it, if you want to take one, you're doing it in front of your shower that doesn't appear to have a shower curtain. I don't know that that means anything, but it's interesting. But you're there and he's very clean, very like white, bright white shirt. It's all buttoned up. He's got his hair slicked back. You know, he's freshly clean with the thumbs up, ready for the day. Is this picture just for him or is this, I was also wondering, and I, again, this is where we don't know so much of the digital footprint yet. I mean, is this something where, hey, this is for his incel buddies if he has them? Because I wouldn't be surprised if he was involved in that sort of, you know, self-commiserating community of people who are just insane, and their hatred towards women of, hey, you know, got one for the team or whatever the hell he's telling himself.
Yeah, what we'll see when they, you know, when we go to trial, if there's more to the digital footprint and his communication with an incel group or not. But we don't have data on that yet.
Yeah, it's speculation.
At this point, I think that's for him.
Is it, are we dealing with confirmation bias right now? Because a lot of people are pointing to this picture. Yeah. And I know the answer is yes. But
yeah.
But I want to get...
There's no doubt.
I want to get your take, and you know where I'm going with this, is the thumb. It does look a little bit... it's a pretty grainy photo. But It looks like there might have been some friction there on that thumb. I mean, if you're stabbing, you're gonna get that friction in that exact spot. Is that a stretch, or are we seeing something here?
Maybe he'd be wearing gloves though at that time. So yeah. It's interesting. So here's what's also interesting. Tony. When you looked at him, you were describing him as if he was post shower. When I'm looking at him, I'm looking at possibly someone who just came in from something that caused him to be really sweaty with a mask on and a hat on.
So, interesting. Yeah, we have two different takes on that on our initial. Yeah,
so that's why I mean that's where there's so many different takes you could have on this, because it looks like, you know, I see a shirt that's buttoned up that would keep any kind of splatter off of him, you know, going around the rest of the body, and it looks like he could have just come in and he's about to go in the shower from something he just did, and he's all hot and sweaty from it. So it's either, you know, glass half full, glass half empty. Who knows? But there's a lot of possibilities there.
I don't know. You're the one with the FBI experience being
what
the
conjecture train we're on.
But
though, you know?
My God, like, I'm going to yield to your because God,
it's just the first impressions we get.
Behaviorally, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's interesting. That I didn't think of it that way.
And so when you look at that too, I really wish we had other photos of him in this same time period, because it'd be really interesting. Because to me, I mean, just look at the eyes. You look at the skin tone. I mean, this looks like somebody who's been up all night. He looks exhausted. He looks tired.
Vampire.
Yeah, seriously. But at the same time, it's one data point, so we have nothing to compare it to. This could be completely his normal look, which is kind of as it is. But again, you can't judge it. It's a standalone shot. That's why I really wish we had more data points to compare it to, which they might. Who knows? I do think, though, that's most likely taken for his own benefit, because think about it. Serial killers, they like to remember the moment, because this is the emotion it creates.
Yeah. It'll bring him back to this happiness.
Yes.
As weird as that is. But this is a moment of a rare moment of happiness, I'm going to say, in his life. That's my conjecture.
So you can conjecture out on this one, that this would be part of, again, if this was able to continue with someone like this. Okay, let's just take his name out of this. Someone like this. Let's say this person is the person that did it. This would be part of their trophies now. I think if other murders, that happened along the train, we'd start seeing a collection of these types of photos.
It's interesting, because so many times we see like an object. I don't think I've ever seen a selfie as the photo. And I wonder if that's going to be a new thing, because, you know, it is a relatively new thing that people are taking selfies the way they are.
I think it's also part of how he did what he did and where he did it and who he did it to. He didn't have, like other serial killers we've seen, it's been really in remote areas. It's been areas that they really control the environment and the time of that environment. So they could really do a lot of things to the bodies, to position them, to hide them, to stage them in areas that gave them that fantasy world that they're looking for. Where he did this didn't allow him to do that because of the time constraints he was put on. Plus, there's a freaking witness in the house still. So it's interesting. I don't think he understood necessarily what he needed to get out of this, that he was actually doing this for this emotional response in order to relive that emotional response, what he's going to have to do in order to do that, like staging and all these other things, trophies or whatever it is. And so when he came back from it, he might be saying to himself, you know, how am I going to relive this moment? Mm-hmm. Because it's gone now, unless I can do something. Bam.
I think we have the answer.
Yeah, which is interesting.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Well, the world in the Brian Koberger case has dramatically changed recently with the revelation that he bought the knife and the sheep. And a sharpener, too, which surprisingly looks a lot like a vacuum attachment, which plays into one of the roommates saying it looks like he has a vacuum attachment. He even, I guess, allegedly, we can say, brought the sharpener to the scene, which I find to be rather bizarre as well. And then he takes this photo. Joining me to discuss, Bob Mata, defense attorney, host of the podcast Defense Diaries, available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. Go press subscribe there. As soon as you're done listening to this, amazing content. Bob, what's your reaction to this? Because I know we've been saying for a long time, at least I've been saying, if we get the receipt that he bought the damn knife, it's game over. Are we there?
I mean, I've been saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, everyone who pegs me is everybody's innocent guy, which obviously couldn't be further from the truth. But I felt from the time that they dropped that probable cause affidavit that thing lead guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously everything's pending trial, right?
Sure.
That is always the case. No one should be forming final decisions in terms of a case until we've had trial.
Yep.
But before we get to question D, I wanna actually give a tip of the hat to Judge Hippler,
mm-hmm.
because it was his order about 2 weeks ago wherein he said, look, I'm over. Everybody filing everything sealed.
Yep.
That is supposed to be the exception, not the norm, mm-hmm. in this country. People deserve, we have a right to know what's going on in our courts in this country. So huge tip of the hat to him.
Yes.
Because that order changed everything in terms of what we've been learning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, make no mistake about it. That order doesn't exist. Everything's still being filed or sealed. We still know very little about this case.
Yep.
So, well done, Judge Hippler. I'm a huge fan of that order. For every judge in this country, they should plaster it on their walls and live by it, because that's what our Constitution calls for. All right, soapbox there. So as far as damning shit, man, I mean, there's no other way to put it. I mean, it was like we've talked over and over the damn sheath. If we see this kind of linchpin evidence that he in fact made the purchase of the weapon and the sheath, in my estimation, it's game over.
Yeah.
So now, like, we had an interesting conversation with Andrea Burkhart. She's a defense attorney. She's more dug in on like really kind of thing that maybe I think the needle probably moved a bit for her recently, but she reads that as not being as definitive as we have the actual proof that he did it. She's reading that as they've got to take a few strong circumstantial steps, but circumstantial steps nonetheless, to get him to that purchase.
Mm-hmm.
So I that'll be something that we'll have to see at trial, exactly what they have. I read it the same way that you did, Tony.
Yeah.
I read it, the purchase happened between March 10th and 20th. And then Allie and Andrea are like, okay, well, why the gap? Like, if you know when he bought it, why is there a gap? Now, that could be he bought the knife at one time. He bought the sharpener at a different time. He bought the vacuum hose. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, like, we still have to speculate as to what all it means. But, like, I mean, certainly if there's a time frame in terms of the weapon being purchased in March of 2022, you know, that's obviously months and months ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're going to have to look at what that time gap means. Does that mean that they don't have an actual purchase from him? Or are they going to have to say, okay, this was an account, much like our family uses one Amazon Prime account. My 30-year-old daughter still uses our Amazon. You know, if there's multiple people in there. All that being said, if he doesn't have an answer or where the hell that thing went, he's done.
Yeah. Well, and let me ask you, because I found this to be a bit interesting. He bought the sheath while he was in out in Pennsylvania. This is before he's there, technically. So he may not have even known these people at this point in time yet, or had any inkling about them. So I think there may be difficulty to show some sort of intent of, like, well, how would he buy this intending to kill these people that he didn't even know existed? I don't know that that's important at the end of the day. I think, you know, he has the knife. It's part of his toolkit. It's his resources. So if he decides to go do this, he already has the knife. And the fact that he owns the knife is the linchpin, and that's the key part of it. But does it matter that it the knife, the murder weapon, was allegedly bought almost like half a year before this crime even took place.
No, I mean, I don't take this as a John Hinckley, Jodie Foster type thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go shoot the president because I love Jodie Foster and I want her to love me.
Yeah.
Like, I think that, you know, I think that he had an idea that he was moving towards doing something like this. Mm-hmm. I think that I don't necessarily think that he had to have anybody specific in mind until he did.
Yeah.
You know, when he got out there, you know, he probably laid eyes on Kaylee somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And she became the target.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think based on what we've heard, it's starting to say, I mean, if we're to believe her father, Steve, which I have no reason not to, I mean, mm-hmm. I know he's emotional.
Yeah.
I don't sweat him on that. I would be too.
Sure.
I'd be out of my, fucking mind.
Yeah.
If somebody did this to my kid. So I don't critique him at all.
No.
In any way, shape or form, because that's how a parent should feel.
Yeah.
So in terms of, you know, just like kind of this concept that the defense might try to untether that knife to them because of the purchase price being so far in advance, I don't think that concept, if the defense tries to run up the flagpole or resonate with the jury,
mm-hmm.
I think that they're just going to think that this guy was just a guy that was building up to this, that this was something that was percolating and that ultimately... unfortunately and sadly, you know, one or multiple of the girls caught his eye and became his target, you know, because I mean, we're going to see it all in terms of like, and the really interesting thing is this concept. I was on with Anjanette Levy, and we had her on our channel the other night.
Yeah.
And she was going through, she had died because she's really great at digging. And so she was digging through a lot of the evidence that's going to be tendered at trial and was looking at transaction reports and videos from this strip mall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it seems to match up with the day that Brian Koberger got that ticket in town.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were pulling all this information from all these different businesses in that strip mall from the day he got that ticket, including the girls' banking records. So it looks to me what they're going to be trying to do is they're going to establish the day that he may have laid eyes on one or more of the girls.
Okay.
And then from that day forward. So, and wasn't he in his second year? Was that his first semester at Washington State?
I do not know the answer to that question.
No, I think he had been there.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, but we won't have to guess when we get to trial.
No.
You know, we're not gonna have to guess about that. They will lay out a timeline. It is going to be a unbelievably difficult task for the defense to be able to explain that purchase away, if in fact they can prove it.
Well,
and it sounds like they can.
Yeah, it sounds very clear that they can. Let's talk about the picture for a second. We got it up here. This is the thumbs up with a thumb that looks like it's seen some friction in recent moments. If you really zoom in on the thumb, I mean, it's a little there's something going on there. Number one.
Or that could just be some confirmation bias shit.
It could be.
We are.
I mean,
we're all looking at that picture because, like, you cannot help but look at that picture with the thought in mind that, okay, we know what you just did.
Within hours of this picture.
Yeah.
Like, literally within, like, 5 hours of this, like, picture of when it would have taken place. And he's all cleaned up. He's in... The whole damn thing is weird. Number one, he's taking a picture in front of his shower. There doesn't appear to be a curtain, or it may just be pulled over. Who knows? But he's doing the thumbs up. It's like, why? Why? What is this? This is, you said off the air earlier, this is the definition of a ghoul. If this is the guy who did this and he's doing is this his souvenir, or is this like a bat signal to the other incels out there of, look, mission accomplished or something like that. Because we don't know his digital history yet either, that footprint. I would not be surprised if we're going to find out he was in some sort of groups out there that are incels, and this is like a, hey, you know, I did got one for the team or whatever the hell they think.
Yeah, it's like all of that is going to make its way out there. Like, I'll be curious to know whether or not even, like, if that was a posted pic.
Yeah.
Because that'll go a long way towards answering the question, was this a souvenir? It's like that's something he kept for private stock.
Yeah.
So that when he looks at it every time, he's able to bring himself back to the moments of time that preceded it mere a few hours later. Or if, like you said, that's some kind of bizarro world, sicko, incel, like, hey.
Yeah.
Got one. Whatever. It's like, it's such a disturbing picture from the perspective that he did it. Now, if it turns out that he didn't do it,
then it's just a normal kind of weird, why are you taking a thumbs up selfie in front of your shower? But, you know, he's kind of a weird guy.
Whatever, 9 a.m. looking pasty as shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, his coloring is one of the most haunting things to me about that entire picture.
Like, he's the color of the tile.
He looks like devoid of blood. He looks vampirish to me. It's weird. Yeah. It's really a unsettling picture in a lot of different ways, primarily because we know what happened in that house, and it appears they have really, really strong evidence.
I think if anything gets him the firing squad, it's this picture. Because if you're sitting there and you find him guilty and you're on that jury, and you know it's a death panel jury, so they have to be okay, you know, and not opposed to it. If you need that little push to put you over the edge to go, yeah, this guy should die, that does it.
Yeah. Now remember, with the death penalty being the firing squad, they have to not be able to have access to what they need for...
Yeah, for the lethal, yes.
So they have to be missing ingredients. But they're hard to get.
Yeah. Well, so, either way, it's like, if anything gets him killed, that's it. This picture is the linchpin that goes, this is a soulless bastard. If it's him.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com.
Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.